After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was to be born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Verse 3. When King Herod heard that when he had heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So again, as I was reading through, I kind of figured, well, why was King Herod so disturbed? Why was he kind of perplexed? Why was he frustrated or upset that people were looking for the king of the Jews? Because at the time, he was the king. And part of it is probably his pride, like he's being overlooked. How come nobody came to visit me? Nobody's asking for me? Nobody wants to stop by the royal palace and see what's going on behind the curtains? So he was a little upset. And because of that, I think that he kind of set the tone for all of Jerusalem being upset. And they started to follow suit. And they were upset, like, well, why aren't we going to see the king? King Herod is here. Why are we looking for this other king that these people are going to look for? We heard some people are in town and they're bypassing the palace and they're going straight to this little place where this so-called king would be born. So interesting part of the story, that he was upset and all Jerusalem were upset with him. Verse 4, when he had called together all the people's chiefs, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." Verse 6, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Now remember that these guys were wise. These guys were scholars. These guys were learned men. And again, prophecy was written. So it's pretty obvious that these guys had done their research. They knew the times. They knew what to look for. And when it was about right, they set out to look for this prophesied king. So Herod went and looked for those guys and said, "Hey, I heard that you guys are looking for this newborn king." So he wanted to kind of get an insight on where this king was and how he could get to him before the Magi got to him. Verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Now we know that's a plot twist, because he did have no interest in worshiping this new king. He wanted to eliminate the king. So he kind of got on their good side and said, "Hey, when you guys are on a journey, when you find him, just let me know. Send me a tweet and let me know where he's at. I'll be there as soon as possible, and we can all worship him together." All lies. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed and worshiped him. Then they opened their gifts, treasures, and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And recently, my wife and I went to First Baptist of Fort Lauderdale. They have what they call a Christmas pageant. And every year they do it for the community. It's not a free event, but the event that we went to was free. It was kind of like the first run of this pageant. And they do a magnificent job of showing the depiction of the three wise men and their entourage who came to present this baby with these gifts. And you could just imagine, no navigation, no GPS. They kind of saw a star. And again, based on their understanding, based on their studies and what they had present at the time, they knew where the child would be. So they followed the star. And they didn't come empty-handed. Now, when I go to parties or get-togethers, I normally come empty-handed, and then I expect to leave with hands full of to-go plates and any types of gifts that you want to offer me. So feel free to invite me. That's probably the best part of going to these get-togethers. You come home with so much, and you didn't bring anything. But they made sure that they came with gifts. And I think the fact that they came with gifts knew, they knew that they were going to find a king. They knew that they were going to run into this king that they had been looking for, the one that they heard about, the one that they'd done studies on, and the prophecies had foretold his coming. They knew they were going to run into him. And I want to ask us today, if you really knew the God that we serve, if you really knew Jesus Christ, who we worship, if we really knew the power of the Holy Spirit, when we come to God, would we come with the best gifts? Would we come to him with our best? Sometimes you come with the scraps. Why? Because we don't live the life that was kind of displeasing to God. And we feel that I have nothing left to offer. So when I come to God, I come kind of head bowed and, well, I really have nothing to offer God. So God, whatever you can use of me. I think we need to come having this in mind that, God, I'm going to give you my best. It's a sacrifice of your life. And that's all that he wants. Too many times we separate what we're doing in life with what we're doing for God. And it shouldn't be. We should be giving him our best. So these wise men, and again, there's an entourage of who knows how many, who came to look for this king, and they had their gifts in hand. Now, while they were visiting, verse 12 says, and they had been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They return to their country by another route. So we'll stop there. So if we get back to our PowerPoint, there's a few points that I want to point out. Again, I want to keep it simple. And again, my challenge, and I pray that you guys would go home and do further research and kind of figure out. And even with the wise men, why did they come? Who were they? Where did they come from? And again, as I was doing research, it led me back to the book of Daniel and the prophecies that were happening there. And you know, with Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were under Babylonian captivity. And we know that at the time, they were seen as wiser, more superior than the guys in Babylon. So if you can imagine these guys who are under God's authority, they're giving prophecies, they're giving revelations of dreams and meanings to various questions. And now their teaching is becoming the norm. Why? Because they're up here and the other guys are down here. The other scholars were kind of lesser than these guys who were serving God. So over the years, this same knowledge that was being uncovered is now what's leading these individuals to the king. So it's an interesting study, and I challenge you guys to go ahead and do the research. But just quickly, looking at King Herod. Herod the Hater. Well, we call him Herod the Great. All right, we know that he was a brutal king of Judea. And the reason I say that, I did some research and it was found that he killed one of his wives, also killed his brother-in-law. And he's also, again, the one who ordered all the children under 2 years old to be killed. And next slide. I'm clicking and it's not working, so. All right, we'll stop there. So he was fearing of the newborn king who would overtake his throne. And he ordered the death of the infants 2 years old or younger. And again, that's known as the massacre of the innocent. So even in all his greatness, he was a very brutal king. And again, we see how he tried to manipulate the Magi as they were traveling, trying to manipulate them, get them to think that he would go and worship the king with them. But you know that his intent was very evil. And you ask the question, Why is Herod a part of this story? Why is Herod important to this story? And ultimately, I believe that we'll see that, again, Scripture tells us, what man planned for evil, God turns out for the good. And as evil and as cruel as Herod was, he couldn't stop the plan that God had in place. So it was not only once, but twice where God had warned individuals. He had warned Joseph not to go back. And there were times where we kind of want God to kind of direct us. Like, God, how do I get out of this situation? There's someone in my life. There's a boss who's very headstrong. There's a professor who's very unforgiving. There's a friend of mine who I grew up with that they really don't, we really don't see eye to eye. There's a neighbor that continues to throw his debris on my side of the fence. There's always someone that continues to kind of get at us, or pester us, or want to cause us to kind of lose our cool. And sometimes you wonder, like, why is this person in my life? God, I know you can do all things. God, I know your scripture says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So why is this hater, why is this person in my life? Because they're not causing me any good. They're only causing me harm and pain, and I want to get rid of them. But I think that through everything that you would go through with whoever the individual may be, whatever situation you may find yourself, there's always this point where God's purpose and his plans will come to pass. A lot of times these individuals, they throw your name in the mud. They make a mockery of you. There's no respect. There's no love. There's pure hatred from these individuals. And a lot of times you can't get out of the situation. That person or this situation seems to be kind of permanent in your life at the time. And we see how King Herod wanted this child eliminated. But I want to give us 3 points on how to handle a holiday, and I crossed out holiday and I put the word Christmas, our Christmas haters. Why do I have that there? Because the world is trying to eliminate us from the word Christmas. So nowadays you will see or you would hear the office is having a holiday party. Or you'll see Merry Xmas, not Christmas, Xmas. And everything seems to be around the fun and the joy and the festivities. And instead of seeing a nativity scene, you'll see a Frosty the Snowman or a Santa Claus or the reindeer. And everything that we knew growing up that dealt with Christmas is kind of slowly but surely being wiped away. They're kind of pushing it to the back, and they bring out this holiday season, this holiday festivities. So I had their how to handle holiday haters, and I crossed that out and said, how to handle Christmas haters. Because again, Herod was a hater, and he wanted to eliminate this whole Messiah, this whole coming of the King. So how do we handle those people that are placed in our lives, especially during this time, this Christmas season? And I think it's our job to mention the name of Jesus. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Yes, we're going to the office holiday party, but I'm going to the Christmas party at the office. Doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to the Christmas party. And I'm celebrating Christmas on Christmas Day. And Christmas Eve, we hope to have a great time. And the day after Christmas, and the more you mention this Christmas or Christ or Jesus, the more they have to hear it. Why? Because they want to take them out of our schools and out of the office place and out of the libraries and out of the government. And then what do you have? I think it's our jobs, especially as believers, to continue the message of Christmas by mentioning the name of Jesus. Scripture tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So one day, we're all going to say it. And I choose to proclaim it now. I choose to say it now. We need to mention the name of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, during the Christmas season. And we also need to give him Jesus. I know we have gift exchanges. We have, again, times where we can give, sometimes we receive gifts. But when you're sending that card, don't just send a generic card. Send one with a little word of Jesus, maybe a little scripture at the back, or write it in, you know, pin it in. But give them Jesus. When you're wrapping that gift, don't choose the Christmas tree wrapping paper. Choose the nativity wrapping paper. There's ways that we can do it so that we're giving them Jesus. And even the gifts that we give. Yes, I understand Gary mentioned Bath and Bed and Beyond, whatever the stores are. But they do have gifts that reference Jesus Christ. So instead of giving them the generic, give them the Jesus. It may cost a little more. But guess what? You're giving them the reason why we celebrate this season. And I know sometimes we just, well, you can't just give them too much. It's not all about Jesus. There's more to it than just Jesus. And if you can tell me what that more is, I'm more than willing to hear. But I know being saved as long as I have been, during this time of year, there's nothing better than Jesus. I remember the years where you would expect gifts and no gifts came in. Just how sad you felt. And just, there was no reason for me to celebrate Christmas. But then you realize you get the gifts and they last for a little while and they fade away. And you get the tree and you set it up. And in a few more weeks, you have to take it down, clean up the mess, put everything back in its place. After the radio stopped playing your favorite Christmas songs, you get back to the real world. But if you have Jesus during that season, then guess what? It doesn't stop. Whether we hear it, whether we see it, it doesn't stop. So we need to be giving them Jesus. We need to be giving them what we believe. Why? Because they give us all of what they believe. We honor, we celebrate all the other religions and all the other religious days. And there's no problem with that. But when it comes to Jesus, we're given a muzzle. We're asked to keep quiet. Let's not talk about him. So our job is to give him Jesus. And the gifts that we wrap, and the cards that we send, and the messages that we leave, give him some more Jesus. Again, let Jesus be your joy. I don't know how that looks for you. But when we go through this story and we understand the different characters who were involved in this story and we realize that God had a plan in it all, it doesn't stop here. We go on to Jesus' life. We go on to Jesus' ministry and his service and his love and his teachings. And then we get to his death, his burial, his resurrection. And scripture tells us that he's in heaven and he's interceding on my behalf. Oh, what a joy that is. Because I know where I've messed up. I know where I've gone wrong. And no gift or no season or no holiday or no party is going to cover my faults. But I know that Jesus will. So Jesus is my joy during the Christmas season. Because I recognize that he had to come. God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. He had to come to make things right. And now he becomes my joy. Again, Herod's constant focus on eliminating Jesus ultimately brought more attention to his presence. More attention to who he was. Again, we heard that and we read in the scriptures that all of Jerusalem were upset with him because the king wasn't happy. And I feel like we get a lot of pressure, again, to eliminate Jesus from the Christmas story, from the Christmas season. And we kind of substitute it with pre-Black Friday sales. And Black Friday sales, then after Black Friday sales, and then extended Black Friday sales. So we get caught up in what the world is doing, and we forget the reason why we're celebrating. But there's a lot of pressure for us not to mention and not to include Jesus. Again, when we look at Herod's case, he didn't want Jesus to exist. So he ordered all the infants, 2 years old and under, to be eliminated. So what was the purpose of that? I believe that God wanted to magnify the presence of Jesus Christ. Because if the whole of Jerusalem is hearing that Herod's out to get rid of this one king, then guess who all the attention is on? It's not on Herod. It's on that one king. So as I'm going through the streets, have you heard about Herod trying to eliminate the king? Yeah, do you know where he is? Like, I don't know, but I heard that he was. And this is the talk of the town. This is in the paper, and this is what's going around. This is what's circulating. And even though he had evil intent, God turned it around for good. And that could be the same for us here today. As we continue to speak about Jesus Christ, as we continue to give them Jesus Christ, as we continue to let Jesus Christ be our joy for the holiday season, for the Christmas season, then guess what? Maybe your name would be in that mix. And he's always talking about Jesus. And he wore his Jesus shirt to church. And he wore the holiday, the Christmas. And you understand what I'm saying? He's always doing this, or she's always doing that. And it's always focusing on Jesus. Why? Because when the worst comes, guess who they're going to be looking for? And we may not want to be directly involved in what's going to happen. Because again, I believe that it's only going to get worse. But you have to understand that there's purpose in the pressure. Evangelicals are and will be even more scrutinized for what we believe. This extra attention will bring him glory. Now, I don't know if you guys know Jeffrey Owens. If you guys watched The Cosby Show back in the day, he was Elvin Thibodeau, the character on The Cosby Show. He was in the news recently, and he was working at Trader Joe's. So someone who's shopping at Trader Joe's recognizes his face. And again, looks totally different from what he did 20, 25 years ago. A little overweight, has a huge beard, a lot of gray facial hair. And they saw him at Trader Joe's, like at the register, working at Trader Joe's as you can kind of walk into. And they snap a picture, and they put it on social media. Isn't this the guy from The Cosby Show? Look at him. He's working in the Trader Joe's. His shirt's filthy. He's overweight. Doesn't look like the person he was. Like, wasn't he famous? Wasn't he popular? Wasn't he? And look at him now. And because of that, with social media, it spread like wildfire. And individuals are commenting. Some are giving good comments. Some are getting negative comments. But ultimately, word of Jeffrey Owens working at Trader Joe's got to the ears of Tyler Perry. And we all know Tyler Perry has a huge a movie production firm, whatever you want to call it. He's like, does movies and plays, and he's highly, highly, highly thought about when it comes to acting and getting yourself into those top dollar movies. And Tyler Perry heard about this story. And he went out and he sought out Jeffrey Owens. And he put him in one of his most recent films. And if you continue to follow the story, Jeffrey Owens has now been asked to do some roles on a series, a television series. So because of that one person who saw it fit to take that picture and send it to social media with negative intent, look at this guy now. All that attention turned around and got him back on his feet. Now he's back in a place where he's making. And where's that person that took the picture? Back at the office, at the holiday party. But we must understand, when we continue to talk about Jesus, we may get that pressure. But the more you talk about Jesus, guess who they're going to come to? When their mom's sick and in the hospital. When things aren't going right in the office place, guess who they're going to come to? There's power in the name of Jesus. So I want to leave us with these three simple points, like, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be concerned about what they're going to say. because you continue to mention the name of Jesus. You continue to wear your cross. You continue to wear your shirts. You continue to have Christmas music referencing Jesus. Don't be afraid to do it. Stand firm. And remember that God's plan will prevail. Again, as I was preparing this, and I understood how the Magi went to see Jesus, how they were focusing on Jesus as the newborn king. And then even in the studies, it brought me back to King Solomon. Now, I kind of debated whether or not I wanted to share this, but since I have the mic and I was given permission by Pastor Gary, I'm going to share it. But this is dealing directly with Pioneer Community Church. For those of you who are sitting in the audience, for those of you who are members, and again, our newest member, congratulations, this is for you as well. And we have to understand that when you give attention to God, when you give attention to Jesus Christ, it's going to come back to you. So I applaud the efforts of giving South Florida and going back and helping with Habitat for Humanities. I applaud those efforts when you give back to those who are in need. I applaud those efforts of going into the homes and the senior centers and giving gifts and singing songs and being involved in what the community is doing, because the recognition will come back. So in 1 Kings chapter 10, there's a mention of the Queen of Sheba. Verse 1 says, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord. The fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold, and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had heard and all that was on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I've heard. How happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantity of spices, precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. So how does this apply to Pioneer Community Church, to Pastor Gary and the staff here at Pioneer Community Church? And how does this tie in with this whole Herod the Hater and his Jesus message? Don't stop what you're doing. Don't stop speaking the name of Jesus. Don't stop giving back in love, because others are going to hear. This Queen of Sheba heard from her country what was happening in Jerusalem. She heard about this king. Now the Bible says that when she set out with all those spices and all those gifts with her. Did she have the intent to bless? Or was she just inquiring? So there are going to be officials from the community. There are going to be individuals at this school who are going to be coming out and reaching out to Pioneer Community Church and say, you know what? I heard you guys have been giving out and doing great things. So here's how we want to bless you. So tell us a little bit more about your ministry. Tell a little bit more about what your young people are doing, what the teenagers are doing, what the church is doing, what the kids are doing. Tell us a little bit more, because this is how we want to help. Because you're proclaiming the name of Jesus. Even when the haters proclaim what you're doing, then guess what? His name be glorified. Because yeah, they're just a small church. They're still at a school. They're still in an auditorium. They don't have a place of their own. That is not the focus. That is not the concern. That is not what we're worried about. God has you here for a reason. And God put Herod there for a reason. And he had Jesus born at that time for a reason. So when the word got out that the king had come, then guess what? People started hearing. And they wanted to come and see. So the Magi came from where they came from with their entourage and presented the gifts. The Queen of Sheba came from where she came from and she asked questions. And when she asked the questions, there was nothing too hard because Solomon was able to answer them. And because of that, she gave him the offering. She gave him the gifts. So what Pioneer Community Church is doing in this season of giving is definitely highlighting the name of Jesus. Let's do that first and foremost, people. Let's highlight the name of Jesus. And in your giving, do it in love. And in your giving, making sure that they hear why you're here. It's not just a community service. You may think it's a community service, but we're doing it to bring recognition to Jesus. Once again, they're trying to silence Christmas. They're trying to silence the name of Christ in Christianity. When your acts of love and your acts of giving, then guess what? You're lifting that name up. Because when that mic is given to you, like, Pastor, so what is your focus here today? So group, can you give me a group shot? And what's your focus here today? So why are we at this shelter with the elderly? What are we doing today? It's all about? His name is? Let's proclaim the name of? And even your haters would have to recognize what you're doing. Because you're doing it for the name of Jesus. My prayer is that we will persist, that we'll keep it up, that we'll keep going. Because there's so much more to be done. And what you can do may be a small part of the bigger picture, but that small part is still necessary. Father, we just bow in your presence and we recognize that you are still God, that your plans will prevail. And even though we may have haters who are seeking to eliminate the name of Jesus, you have given us voice. You have given us opportunity. You have given us a reason to proclaim that name. And God, we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So we stand upon that name of Jesus. And I trust, God, that as we continue to uncover this nativity, the story of Jesus and his birth, that we'll see that from every angle, the intention was to get Jesus recognized. And God, you will send evil fleeing because they have no power against the name of Jesus. And those who have evil intent will be turned away because they can't stand against the name of Jesus. And when the evil one would send for a report, it won't get back to him. Because in your power, you will turn it around. And again, Jesus will be glorified. God, we thank you that we can celebrate Christmas and Jesus and his birth and the Messiah and the coming King. And I trust that that'll be our joy as you go through this Christmas season. It may be a holiday for some, but it's Christmas for us. It is the birth of the King of Kings. And God, we know that you are very soon going to send him back to claim those that are his own. And I trust that in the meantime, we'll continue to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And through that name, many will be saved. So we thank you again, Lord, for your word given to us. Motivate us. Give us that passion. Move us forward in this time. And everything that we do, we'll give glory and honor to the name of Jesus.